Nau mai, haere mai ki tēnei hōtaka. Welcome to the panel. Kia mau tōna mai koutou katoa. Coming up on the programme this afternoon, we go live to the post-cabinet press conference. Details on the traffic light system revealed and more information about the new variant Omicron. It's just after four. From this Wednesday, be prepared to reveal a whole lot more detail about yourself before you get a loan. Now, that might include subscription services like Netflix or Sky TV, as well as regular trips to the pub. Loan market mortgage broker Bruce Patton on that. And this month, the SPCA has received a surge in calls to rescue dogs left unattended in hot cars, including a five-month-old puppy. We talk about that on the panel. And there's been a call for schools to offer meditation classes instead of detention. Do you think that would work? You can test us 2101 or email the panel at rnz.co.nz. With us this afternoon is Dr. Ella Henry, Associate Professor and Director of Māori Advancement at AUT Business School. Dr. Henry, tēnā koe, welcome to the panel.
Hi, kia ora, thank you, Wallace. I look forward to the afternoon.
Lovely to have you on, and also Phil Taylor, lawyer, corporate partner at Tompkins Wake and Deputy Chair of the Board of Sport Waikato. Phil, kia ora.
Kia ora.
So Phil and Ella with me this afternoon. We thought we'd talk about this first up because today all women in New Zealand start working for free. According to Stats NZ, the 9.1 gender pay gap means that women in Aotearoa are now working for free until the end of the year. This inequality is even worse for Māori and Pacifica women who began working for free much earlier in the year, quote unquote, with gender pay gaps of 14.0% for Māori women and 20.6% for Pacifica. So with us to discuss this afternoon is Teresa Gatton, Chair of Global Women. Teresa, kia ora.
Kia ora. Good afternoon, everyone.
Good afternoon. And in fact, Teresa, you have suggested putting up your out-of-office email memo until January the 1st, 2022.
Well, look, we thought it was a novel but interesting way to try and make this issue relatable, and I have got my out-of-office email up. I'm going to have it up for all of this week. And it's already starting a real dialogue with people who've been contacting me today. So it really puts it in stark relief. You know, us Pākehā women are working for free from today till the end of the year. And as you mentioned in your intro, Māori women started working for free on November the 10th and Pacifica on October 18th. And when you look at it like that, you just realise really how unfair it still is.
And our guest would have some thoughts on it as well. But so all women to start work for free from today until the end of the year. What should be done? Should women just down tools symbolically or otherwise until the new year? I mean, that would be a very effective symbolic protest.
Well, it would be. It would be. And look, of course we understand that that women are working and they have to feed their families and pay their mortgages, etc. But honestly, if all the women even took a day off, it would be, you know, New Zealand would hardly function. So it's really just a call to action to have a korero about this. And it really goes across the whole range. There's definitely things in terms of women. It's being unafraid to negotiate, to ask, etc. But it's not all on women. It's more systemic than that. And there's a lot that companies can do. New Zealand actually lags now in terms of this issue. The UK and Australia have had gender pay gap reporting for some years, and the UK has recently evaluated that and seen that it's made a difference. So really, it starts with that. It starts with companies committing to report the gender pay gaps, because if we don't report it, we don't understand what the size of the issue is in the organisations where we can do something about it.
Right. Ella?
I absolutely applaud the idea. Kia ora, Teresa. I think that's a wonderful notion. And I know certainly at AUT, our Vice-Chancellor reports regularly on, you know, where the men and women are, where Māori and Pacifica are in terms of leadership roles, but nobody's talking about the pay gap. And I think that that's a really stimulating way of approaching making organisations be accountable for those pay gaps.
Teresa?
Oh, look, I agree. And these are all interlinked, of course. More women and more Māori on boards and governance roles and on executive teams is an equally important facet. But the gender pay gap reporting is actually one of the easier things to fix. It's one of the easier things to do. And there are a handful of companies that are doing it in New Zealand, Spark, Westpac, Genesis, Sky City, Warehouse Group. And the public sector really leads the private sector, I think, in this whole area of equality for gender and for
Maori. Sorry, Teresa.
So we're really also, it's an invitation. It's an invitation for companies, for individuals who are listening to this, for companies who are listening to this, to become a partner of Global Women. And we can work on this with you. Join the Mind the Gap campaign. And we can help you through this process because we're working with all our partners in Q1 next year on how we do consistent gender pay gap reporting.
Okay, Phil, are you on board? What do you make of this?
Oh, absolutely. Well done, Teresa, for raising this issue. It's a frustration of mine for the 30 or so years that I've been practicing law that I haven't seen a heck of a lot of real progress in matching the career prospects of women to men, even though the representation and partnerships and things in law is closing up. I suspect the pay gap still exists, and I think one, you know, it's a very complex issue, and there are very many issues, but one of the key ones is men actually standing up and taking on more of the traditional female roles. And supporting their partners.
I couldn't agree more. Definitely one of the reasons for the pay gap is women taking time out to be the primary child raiser. That's not the only reason. In fact, the unexplained is at least as big as any other reason. So, you know, unconscious bias, accepting that's the way things have always been. But, yes, having men take an equal share would put a spotlight on whether maternity and paternity leave in companies is adequate, and that in turn would actually shift the dial in a way that narrowed the gap. So also will the progression of the fair pay agreements. I mean, I was having a conversation this morning and saying, at this point in New Zealand, who are more valuable, electricians or nurses? You know, so as you'll probably know, fair pay agreements, nurses, midwives, other groups are going through at the moment being evaluated, and actually whole sectors of the workforce are not paid relative to their skills. And that's really a levelling up thing that we need to go through as a country as well, and that would make a difference too.
But why is, one thing I'd like to know, Teresa, is why Aotearoa is lagging behind the likes of Australia and the UK? What is it about us that hasn't been ahead of the curve on this issue?
Well, we're not lagging if you look at the raw data, because despite their mandatory reporting, they're not necessarily taking enough action to close the gap. But in New Zealand, I believe we're a smaller country, and if we really got behind this we backed up the reporting with the actions that companies are taking, that the government is taking, I think we could lead the world. So we don't lead the world. We're just in the pack. We're not the best. We're not the worst. No. I'm talking about developed world here. And we could lead the world. Why wouldn't we want to have that aspiration?
And Teresa, to those that have said, look, it's 9.1%, it's a significant gap, but that gap has got a lot smaller, quite significantly over the years, that gap will just atrophy away over time.
Oh, look, I'm afraid that is absolute rubbish. The gap was 15, 16% 20 years ago. And it's been at around 9%, 9.1, 9.2, 9%-ish for the last 5 years. Even Statistics New Zealand, when they put out the figures a few months ago, said, look, this hasn't shifted for 5 years. And that's why we've got to do something differently, because it's not going to go to zero by itself.
All right. Well, very nice to have you on the program. I appreciate it. That is Teresa Gatton, the chair of Global Women. It is 5 to 4. The panel are NZ National. It's time for I've Been Thinking. Dr. Ella Henry, why don't you start?
Okay. So we just had our final academic board for the day at AUT this morning, and obviously a big chunk of it was put towards planning for next year's teaching. But the reality is, especially with the rise of Omicron in the last few days, all of the plans and strategies that we make, nobody knows what's going to happen. And that uncertainty is totally permeating the motivation of students, the well-being of teaching staff and all staff across universities. I mean, I'm glad that I don't have to be part of that planning group, the senior leadership team, because it just looks exhausting. But for me, I have to make decisions now because I'm, you know, immune compromised about how I'm going to cope with going back into a classroom next year, or have another whole semester of trying to motivate students to enjoy teaching, you know, in the little goggle box frame. It's a very fraught time as we go into summer.
Who saw this coming? People, our expert after 4 points say we did see it coming, but nonetheless, on your perspective, what if you faced another year of online teaching, Dr. Henry?
Look, we have to cope with whatever comes our way. I am extremely and profoundly grateful that I am employed in a job that I love, you know, and whether I have to teach online or in a classroom, I'm one of the lucky ones in a country, in a world facing increasing uncertainty. So we're just going to muck in and do the best we can, I guess.
Yeah. All right, Phil Taylor, I've been thinking.
I've been thinking about the mantra that which came out in the first lockdown to be kind, which I think had some merit, but seems to have been worn and become a bit of a tired phrase. But I'm thinking about a concept which could be more sustainable, if you like, which we could adopt as a culture. And I've been particularly inspired by the New Zealand cricket team, men's cricket team, that's widely regarded globally as the nice guys in cricket, but they still seem to win. So how can you take their approach to it and have a better community and better society, but still have a winning culture? And I think it comes down to mutual respect, accepting that other people can have different views. But at the end of the day, someone has to lead and make a tough decision.
Mm. So is this post be kind, Phil?
Yeah, maybe this is Be Kind 2.0.
What do you think, Ella?
Be Kind Amber Light. We've let go of the red light and we're on our way to full kindness. It's Amber Light kindness.
Yeah. Very, very good. Hey, we've got a couple of minutes before the end of the, before we head to the news. I wanted to ask you actually briefly, big news in leadership tomorrow. Ella, what are you thinking in terms of the National Party leadership?
Oh, I know this sounds absolutely dreadful, but I try very hard not to think about the National Party leadership.
Right.
But having said that, I do think that it will be exciting television and radio to watch the outcome. That's about as much as I can say at this point.
Okay. All right, Phil, are you picking anyone? Or is anyone that you would like to see?
No, I think we do need a good, strong opposition, no matter who that party is, and I'm just hoping that it's someone that can rise above any personal ambition and lead and make tough decisions in the best interests of the country as a whole.
And who might that be?
I don't know.
You're not picking anyone? No. All right.
No.
Okay. We have Ella Henry and Phil Taylor on the program this afternoon. Stay with us. A lot to discuss. The press conference just after 4. Stay with us. The panel, RNZ National.